And I'd like to welcome everybody here this morning to the first session. And keep Mike Nolan in your thoughts and prayers. So Mike had a golf operation. And said he was going to come, but apparently, for whatever reason, didn't. So I'm going to turn it over to Jane. And so I'll just turn it over to Jane.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay?
No.
Okay, let's see. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Hi, as he said, my name is Jane Thursby, and I've been working with TMG since almost its creation, but and I have come from a computer background, so I tend to be, I always tell people that I'm lazy, so I figure out ways to do things that I want to be able to do. And one of the things I wanted to be able to do was to draw a chart that had all my ancestors, their siblings, their children, and have it all on one chart. That's what I wanted it to do. So they call that multiple progenitors. Progenitors. Is that how you pronounce it? And I wanted to do this because I am looking. Did my chart just fall off by itself? No. I thought my chart just fell off the table. My family is very small. I come from a kind of an odd family. I tell people I don't have a family tree. I have a family stick. And because even though they had multiple children, many generations, only one from many of the generations went on to have children. So it keeps getting smaller and smaller. So I don't have a lot of cousins, first cousins. I really don't have a lot of second cousins, unless it's on my mother's side of the family. My mother's side of the family is better than that. My father's side is thick. I don't have any second cousins on my father's side of the family. I don't have any third cousins on my father's side of the family. I have to go back quite a bit to find fourth and fifth cousins. And I'd like to find them, you know. I really would like to, you know, find these people. So that means going back and bringing them all forward, which is, of course, fine as long as you have census records and other current records that you can look up. But can be really difficult trying to find people who are alive. I use People Finder quite a bit to hunt for people because I am also blessed with having unusual last names. So if you are a Thursby, odds are you're related to me. You know? So, if you have a Thursby in your family in Maryland, you are related to me because we all come from the same gentleman. So this is why I wanted to get a chart so that I could show what few cousins I have, how we're all connected together. So I gave you a handout, and this time I actually expanded it. A lot of times when I do a chart like this, I limit it to just maybe four of the progenitors, and before my great-grandparents or something like that, great-great-grandparents. As we all know, we have two grandparents, four great-grandparents, eight great-great-grandparents, and 16 third great-grandparents. Now, if you only take one side of your family, that divides those in half. And since I only wanted to do my father's side of the family, I only have eight of the third great-grandparents. Now, I happen to know all those third except for one. I've been able to trace every one of my family's back, through some of them the fourth and fifth generations back, and on my father's side of the family. My mother's side of the family, I can go way, way, way back, but on my father's side of the family, I can get them back pretty far, but I do have one that I just don't know who it is. And so I have deemed him called Father Oldner. I know her last name is Oldner, and Anna Louisa Oldner, and she married into the Seward family. And so I do know that she exists and what her maiden name is, because I can find her in the 1850 census, living with her sister and her husband in Baltimore, and they were born in Virginia. And prior to that, and she's 18 years old, so you know, it's kind of, you know, that finding an owner prior to the, you know, 1850 is kind of hard to find. I do think I know who they are, but I haven't committed to it yet. It seems to be that her brothers and everybody moved to Mississippi. I think that's unusual. They moved down to Mississippi right before the Civil War began. And I think they're all down there. But I haven't confirmed that. So I still call him just Father Olner. And I made him up because I had a sister. And you can't relate to people unless you have a sister. Now, I have no idea whether they have the same mother. So, I don't have them connected that way. But I do have them connected through the father. At least I know that that's who is there. So, the first thing I had to do was to identify these people that I wanted. And these are all the exact same generation. And on your chart, in the handout I gave you, I will show you, and I can also show you on the tree. This is my father, by the way. And notice I have all that generation of great-great-great-grandparents for him, for me, his great-great-grandparents, except for good old Father Olner and Mother Olner, I guess you could call her. I don't know who she is, you know. And that's the one that I'm missing. But I went ahead and put him in so I could tie Anna Louisa to him. And so these are the generation that I would like to have appear on my chart. Now, normally when you have a chart, you have to start with a single individual, correct? Anybody else have another? Okay. I mean, if I've been looking at this wrong, please let me know, because I have tried, you know. And so I wanted to have every one of these people on the chart. And I wanted all their spouses and all their descendants and all the descendant spouses on the chart. So the very first thing I did was create a focus group that had everybody in it that I wanted to have on the chart. Do I need to show you how to do that? Okay. Okay. Let's see if this is who it is. Yeah, this is happens to be who it is. Now, the way I started it was that I pulled up. I'm going to remove all these. Okay. And I went through and I simply, which is why I put down the numbers, because it's easier to grab them all by putting down. And I went through and I grabbed each one of the people that I wanted to be on the chart. Okay, very simple. Just go through. If you only wanted four, if you were just taking a particular, then you would just stop with the number that you wanted. But you just go through and you add the people that you want on there. Ooh, I got the wrong person there. Okay, so we just remove that. Wrong side. Did a fat finger there. Okay. And you just go through. So you have to know, I mean, you have to know who these people are, or else you have to make up a name for that person if you happen to. Do you always have to pick a line that you knew every single person? No, you can stop, and as I said, you can make up a father for the people that you would like to come forward on if it's one particular line. I don't know if I'd have six or, you know, lines where I didn't know the father. I'd pick the previous generation or the earlier generation and go with that instead of going. But if anybody else would see the advantage of having unknown, please speak up. And do speak up if you see something that... Yes, sir.
Tell me where you are, please. I mean, in the focus group.
I'm in the focus group.
How you got there through...
Windows. Focus group. See, down here?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Or click on the icon.
Yeah, or click on the icon. 1, 2,
so you're in the focus group. I can't see where you are.
Okay, there's seven of them, and since I made up Father Olner, You can tell I don't have a big family if I only have 2,700. And don't come over big family. Okay, so now I have them. All right? So I can go and select all these, and I say, give me all their descendant and spouses. Okay. Now, sometimes I wonder whether it's actually done everything I've asked it to do. So I go back and I say, okay, give me all the spouses again. You know, see if I get any more people. Yeah. And I just keep seeing if I add any more, because it shouldn't make any difference, but I just want to make sure that I get everybody that I want. Now, I don't know why I'm not coming up with the same number that I had originally, but I don't have the same number, at least I don't think. I'm going to go back and load the one that I had. And let's see how. Yes. Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, so there are the people that I have in the group. Okay? And if I like the group, of course I'm going to save it as a line so that I can always make sure that I have the correct one. Okay. Now, to make this easier on myself, I think I'm going to set up a new project with just these people in it. Okay. It's just easier for me. Do you all find it easier? Would that be easy, you know? If I'm going to manipulate these people in any way, like remove who their fathers are, and notice I do have quite a bit of the fathers further going back. I have quite a few generations going back from these people. I don't want to do it in my main database. Okay? I want to take it off and put it to the side, and it's only 550 people. I mean, it's not so bad. So let's just move it off to the side. Now, the thing to remember is if I catch something that's wrong and I see it in the new project that I'm creating, I either have to correct it in both spots to keep them current, or I've got to go back and rebuild it. Now, I don't have any problem with rebuilding it each time. You know, okay, let's do it again. Let's do it again. You know, whatever needs to be done. But it's just easier for me to handle that way. I'm going to go off and put it off in enough. So I'm going to create a new project, and I'm going to export this. Tell me if there's another way of doing it, because this is how I do it.
You're exporting to a JEDCOM?
Yeah.
Exporting.
Huh?
Exporting.
To a JEDCOM. Is there an easier way?
I start with the export.
I started with export. Should I put it in something else? Would it make it easier?
You can.
See, I didn't see where I could go right into another product. Project.
You can do.
Okay, report. Good.
List of people.
No, that sounded more complicated to me.
No, it's not. And then when you get to the list of people, you can use the secondary results and create a project from a focus group. Mm-hmm.
Come up here and do it.
Okay,
all right. I don't have it set up.
I was going to show you online, but you would just go to...
Well, okay, we'll do it that way. Okay.
Well, We'll do it later.
Okay.
Do it your way.
I just found this was easier. And I told it what I wanted to have brought out. And it goes out there and it creates the project. Oh, got hit, finished.
Exports to a jet compound.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other way you get a TMG process.
Wait a minute. Exporting 6,156 people. Back. Stop. Stop that.
We have our switches set up. I can show you how to do it the other way.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Okay. I didn't tell it to do the focus group. Stop doing that. I wish there was a way that you could just say, stop. And obviously my mother's side of the family has got a lot more people on it than my father's side. But then again, she is related to everybody in the state, so. Don't have any girth of cousins on that side of the family. What's interesting is when you find out you went to school with cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins, and you did next door to a cousin, and you didn't know. You know, I mean, and we think, I really do think our parents knew, but, and then my father was in a rather unique profession that required him at one point to disown all his relatives. And let me explain. He was a Chesapeake Bay pilot, and the Chesapeake Bay pilots navigate the boats up and down the Chesapeake Bay, and he was a sixth generation Chesapeake Bay pilot. And it was typically passed down from father to son. And usually only one son. Needless to say, my uncle was very upset because he wasn't the oldest child. But it was typically passed down to, and the reason being is that it back then it was a six-year apprenticeship rather than going to school. And only got paid a dollar a day. Now, what parent is going to put up? I mean, what, you know, nobody could live off of a dollar a day. So, of course, you're going to end up living with your parent. And let's make sure we get this right. Yeah, we know it already exists.
Where do you choose
that? Here it is, right here. Let people in the focus group. Right there is where I made the mistake. Okay? I said all people. It did say all people. So. I'm not doing anything special with it. See, now there's 550. A lot smaller. So, after World War II, one of the state legislator of the state of Maryland decides what fees the Chesapeake Bay pilots can charge and what the rules and regulations are. They make a great deal of money, these guys do. And they said, oh, it's a monopoly because it's all family. Okay, it's monopoly. It's, you know, you don't let anybody else in except for family. It's a monopoly. And so they all started denying they were related to each other. Now, obviously, father and sons couldn't deny it. But, so years later, here I am into genealogy. And I run it, I get one of my families is the Cullisons, right here, Mary Cullison, who founded the Maryland Chesapeake Association. And I'm tracing ancestors and I found our descendants of his, and I find I have a cousin. And I've known this woman all my life. And I knew her father. We called him Captain Paul. And we knew him all my life. We're cousins. You know, like, you know, what life, you know. Okay, so we have created, now we're going to go out and create a new project. Right. And we're going to call it, I'm going to overwrite the one that's No, I better not call it the same thing, chart. So all my life I had all these cousins that I saw on a regular basis that I had no idea I was related to. We really know each other well, and we didn't know we were related to each other. Unfortunately, my father died many, many years ago, and so I couldn't go to him and ask him about it. So I called my stepmother up, and I said, "Did you know that cousins were cousins?" And my stepmother said, "Yes." Well, because your father told me, you know. I thought, well, he didn't tell us, but he told you. And I just thought that was just so strange that you could have that happen. And okay, import it. I'm not going to go anything other than simple. Locate. I'm going to see if this is the current one. There it is. Very secretive family, apparently. Both sides were very secretive, but didn't know anything about any ancestors. And I got interested because of finding my genealogy, because of the fact that my grandmother, when she died, she was 103 and a half when she died, the Thursday grandmother. And she was going through her effects and found my father's baby book. And in the center of it was a five-chart generation chart of family. I didn't know any of those names. I know them well now, but I didn't know any of those names. And I thought, who are these people? I mean, who are these people? So I started looking them up and figuring out who they were. And, of course, I always knew my great-grandmother because I'm named after her. And I knew her maiden name, and I knew her married name and everything, and I knew the whole thing because they were going to name me the whole thing, and I just thank God they didn't, because then instead of just being Emily Jane Thursby, I'd be Emmy Jane McElroy Stewart Thursby, and that was just like, oh, that would have been terrible. But I always knew McElroy, you know? I mean, how many people know their great-grandmother's maiden name off the top of their head? McElroy, what a name. There's one of those uncommon names. There's not a single McElroy in the state of Maryland anymore. That whole branch, as I always like to say, girled out or didn't have children. That's it. And I'm the only descendant from the entire McElroy who's still living, who's of my generation, who's from that family. So it's McElroy. It was McElroy, I imagine. I don't know, but the weird part is the McElroys actually married into the McElroy family. Oh, my God. Help us, help us. McElroy, you remember what that enumerator thought when he got to that house? Somebody got a list or something? Okay, so here's the family. Let's pull up. Okay, so we have all the people in the family that we're looking for. And now the next step I do is I go to that person again, and this time I believe the numbers have changed, so I can't go and pull the numbers again the same way. But I can go through and I find my Thursday, my William Thomas Thursday, who is the oldest of the generations that I'm going after. Okay, didn't think I had that many. Okay, and I add a father to him, a made-up father. And I like to always call him, I call him Master. Father. I don't need anything else on him other than that he is, I find out what number he's going to be. He's 552, okay? That's needed to have that because I'm going to make him the father of every other one of these people. Now, hoping not to have to do this for you right here while I'm sitting here, but unfortunately, we have a quirk with the way TMG loads its files when it first loads. If you're sitting on a network at the time, it puts certain files on the network and certain files on your computer. And even when I disconnect from the computer and reinstall the software, which then it all puts it onto my computer itself, when I get back on the network, it transfers all the files over to the network. And I didn't realize I had put my chart family out on that. I have talked to them quite a bit about this. They can't figure out how it's happening. They have no concept of what's going on. I'm sorry. I'm talking and typing at the same time. And I'm afraid I didn't realize until I got here that I had not put in And I do that for each one of the men who I have identified on the sheet of paper. Each one of them. And now I have a single progenitor. Right? You got it.
That's why you can name them all Master Father.
I just take them all Master Father. I don't have to worry about the wife, you know. I don't have to worry. I don't have to have a mother. You know,
they all go like this.
Yes, which is what that chart is over there.
Then you just take it out.
Then I just take it out, which is exactly right. I literally, and I'm going to show you, I only have a couple of the files, unless you would like me to go through and do, you know. I'll stick a couple more. Okay, let's go find MCN McNamara. And that's Timothy.
Oh, you have the numbers now.
No. Numbers change. Yeah. I do know the number of the father, so the master father. I just call him the master father. Sounds so official. You know. Call us then Mary.
Trivial question.
Yeah, go ahead, Nan.
Would it have been any easier or make a difference if you just simply brought the master father and had 8 sons?
That's what I'm doing.
No, I mean, you're doing it the other way around. You're bringing up each son and giving him a father. Why not start with the father and just add sons? I mean,
that would be easier. You're right. Thank you. Where were you several weeks back when I was Yeah, and you know, it's actually pretty easy to write down the numbers when they change, you know, which is probably how I did it originally, is I went through and I just wrote down the numbers. But you're right, you know, it.
How would you do it again? You just make a master father.
You make a master father and then you add sons. Add a child, add a child, add a child.
Yeah, but they're already existing.
Yeah, true. Uh-huh. Okay. Whoopsie. I got Ada. Sorry. That's what I'm doing now. I'm having to link them. Make sure I get the right way.
In order to print out the pictures.
Yeah, you have to merge the people, and that would be quite good. Went to the wrong person. Went to William instead of James. Okay.
Yeah, Father. We just went to the chart and all its glory.
Yeah. Okay, got a couple more. Got the old Muckeroy one to get in here. And it is spelt Muck. Not Nick Elroy. It's pronounced, it is Muckeroy.
It probably started off Nick Elroy.
It may have, and you know, they had a real thing against the Irish, but you know, I don't know if the Irish would have made it much difference between Muck and Nick, you know, I mean, you know.
It might have been identified by the Muck part.
Yeah.
Joe,
he probably would have been. It certainly would have been better for spell, you know. The rest of the Muckeroys, oddly, all live out in Texas. So they eat, this one came in very, very early. He was a, John McElroy, or William McElroy, John's father, because I've taken it back that far, was an apprentice as a butcher in Philadelphia, and at 15 he ran away and he came to Baltimore. And the reason why I know that is because they advertised the fact that he ran away from his butcher. Well, lo and behold, it wasn't hard to know that that was Mike William because he was a butcher in Baltimore. And so was John, his son. And so was John, his son. So it was pretty easy to know that I had found the correct McElroy based on occupation. Griffin, come on.
You're not going to believe how easy it is the other way.
I do believe how easy it is the other way. Thank you. Much easier the other way. That's the thing. That's the good thing about this group is that you find ways, and I do like to find easier ways of doing things. And okay, poor old father owner. Now I have two generations of unknowns for, you know, in a sense, for this person. So I have to go out and get the owner. You will find that I have very few owners in my file. And here is father owner. And father owner gets another made up father. Okay, so now we have them all together, and I'm going to father owner, of course. And that's where we're starting. We're going to start with a good old master father. Here he is, the master father. Okay, so now he has one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Yay, I've got them all. Okay? Now, if someone could explain to me how the chart decides where to place the family, I thought it was maybe by birth. I manipulated, I gave father owner a birth that was later, but he didn't show up at the end on the chart. Since he has the least number of descendants, I thought, okay, we'll get everybody. But he didn't. He shows up in the middle with this, you'll see this space between his name and the next generation, his daughter. It's kind of like, why? So that I haven't figured out yet. And I could manipulate the chart, but I didn't want to do that. I wanted to show you what happened. But these are the type of things that could happen. So let's now go and create a descendant box chart.
Did you change the date or the sort date?
I changed the date on his birth, which changed the sort date. I don't know who father. I don't know father or owner. Really? Okay. So now I have my focus person. All right, and we are going to create, and I can take what options, I can go in and decide what my options are, and these are all set to what I already use. And you can manipulate these. Notice I have a title in there, and I can decide whether I want boxes in different colors, width, You know, we have all the things that you can do with the chart right here that you control. Notice I put a nice big header. It doesn't come with a nice big header, you know, so I took that. And it didn't come with very big print. Now, luckily, I didn't have to pay to have this printed because we have a printer like that at work. However, the gentleman who printed it for me yesterday didn't quite know how to print it, and so that's why it looks kind of funky. What we figured out he did is he made a custom size of the print and told it it was a little bit smaller, and so that's why it kind of, that's what I finally figured out last night. But I didn't want him to go and reprint it since, as you can tell, it's, what, 30 feet long or 20-some feet long, you know. So I didn't want him to go print it again. And I made it very simple. I made it in black only. You know, I wanted to do the cheapest way. I did find out that paper is only $14 a roll, 150 feet. Because I told him I'd buy the paper.
How much is the printer?
The printer is, I don't know, $50,000, I guess. But I'm going to now check out and find what the ink is, and I think I may have some more of these printed up, you know, because they don't ever use it. It never gets used. It's only there if we have an emergency for the state and we want to print out some very specialized maps or charts or something that when we're having to deal with like search and rescue or I'm in emergency management, by the way, kind of like FEMA, but for the state of Maryland. And so that's the only time it ever gets used. Well, you know, knock on wood, we've had nothing this year so far. You know, not like in previous years. So you can go, you know, I wanted to make it as simple as possible. And so I'm not surprised he didn't know how to do it efficiently, you know. So he learned a lot and I learned a lot, you know. So, and I did, but I didn't want him to reprint it just to make, he kept saying, I'll do it again, I'll do it again. No, no, you know, don't do that. Okay, yeah.
What happens if you only have standard printers? I mean, how?
Then it comes out in this size paper, and you have to paste it all together.
Yeah.
Tape it all together.
Yeah, okay.
Or you use the one that TMG has the service, and you spend a lot. Because they come and say, oh, that paper's so expensive. It's $150 a roll. I said, I'll spend it. I'll buy a roll of paper. Well, it turned out to be $14 a roll. And then at the end they said, don't pay for it. Because of the fact that it didn't come out looking that great in the first place. Yes.
If you don't have the printer, you can take it over to FedEx. It used to be Kinko. It's about $1 per square foot.
See, and this is
3 foot wide standard paper is $3.
Okay. Okay, so and one of the things you do need to check is how wide it is and how big it is, and I'll show you that when it comes up. Okay, this is the most important option that you need to decide on. What is it that you want in those boxes when it prints? Okay? So you need to decide what information. You may be doing just a very simple chart that simply has birth, death, you know, nothing else, nothing about marriage, nothing about where they're buried, everything like that. I tend to put all the information I can in because what I'm looking for is holes. Okay? And, but you notice that it brings it down. For the focused person, remember that's master father. I don't give a darn what's in his. He doesn't have any information. And I told it to print blank lines, not to print blank lines when it didn't have it. So you will see that his only comes out with his name in it. Even though I told it to print. Because sometimes the focused person is a person that you know who it is, if you're doing a single family. Duplicate person. You are obviously going to get duplicate persons on this chart. Not only because they married into each other. And do you want yourself appearing multiple times on the chart, you know, and things as it goes down through the generation. Because you're not only related to your grandfather, you're related to your wife, your grandmother. So it's going to show at least twice. And then if you've got intermarried people, which I do, it's really freaky to find out. I don't know if they even knew they were interrelated, since there's several generations different. Huh? No, I have it just say reference the duplicate person. Okay? This person is a duplicate. So it actually says, you know, this person is a duplicate. You'll see that over there on the chart. Okay? So those are the typical things that you can do. All these are just ones that you decide whether or not you're going to, how you want it. And of course you don't have to print it in between. You know, you can look at it and say, I don't like that, do this, change it, do it, till you finally get the image that you like. Okay? So now we're going to create the chart. Now, because I have a small family, you consider this is four generations, five generations of people. I don't have much at all. And a lot of these people, either I haven't brought them all the way forward, or they just simply didn't have children. I'm just shocked at how few descendants these people have. Okay, now see, in this case, it came out in a different order because I did change where Father Olner was born. But see, I can manipulate this and I can change where the title is. At this point, I'm working in charts so that things that I'm doing are only affecting the charts. Now let's find that Master Father. And I can always go down and do a view where I do it fit, and I can find him. There he is, right there. Okay? He's very little, but you know he's there. So let's make sure that he's him. Yeah, see, there's everybody coming down. Notice the lines. That is if I would see it. Now, see what happens if I put older at the without a date on it. Older is off by himself. I don't understand that. What a waste of paper that is. But I can't, when I put him with a date on it, it doesn't create as much of a space, but it does create a space. So these are the things that I had to play with because of the fact that I had one person who I had no idea who they were. So if I come down now to where, let's go back and find the master. There's the man. But let's do a few normal. There he's master. But see, I can go in and just remove him. Highlighting, take out all the lines that connected him. And now he's gone. Okay? Nobody knows that he is he was there in the first place. And I can then save this and print it. Now I don't like this version, so I wouldn't print it. So yes.
Did you take out the lines?
I don't, because I could do that, yes. I could, the ones that put all the brothers supposedly. Yeah, I can actually take out those lines also. You know. Which then would make each one of them. But that's up to you all how you want it to look. This is now, you've got the people on it. You have what information, if it's pictures, those are on there too. The color is the way you want it, because I can go in and even manipulate everything about this chart now if I want it. I mean, I could if I chose to. I could change dates on people, but that doesn't affect the database. You are only changing the graphs at this point. And maybe there is something you want to take off because you don't think the family members want to see it. You know, maybe you got a black sheep in the family that nobody wants to ever talk about. Take him out. Okay, yes, ma'am. I do have it going left to right.
You have had it left to right.
Yes, that's the way I did it. I like that chart because when I put it on a table, you can kind of, it's easier. We have 8 of these that we do for the Norwood family reunion. We have 8 charts. The shortest length is 32 feet. We took the children of Captain John Norwood, and he had from 13 children, I guess. Some of them don't have very many descendants. Let's look at this. This is one of the things that you do need to look, is that you need to look at the size of your diagram. Diagram measurement.
Can you, as you do this, Jake, say what you're doing a little more clearly, because it's hard to follow.
Okay. I'm going up to tools, and one of the options under tools is things about the diagram itself. And I have diagram measurements. You need to know how big your diagram is, because that's one of the things that they're going to ask you when you do it from TMG. They're going to say, is it a small diagram, because it has to be within this bound measurements, a medium or a large, because they can price it. Now notice, this is, most of it is wasted paper because of that owner sitting up there, which is why I gave him a date. I had no idea when his birthday was, but I gave him a date, and it shrunk it down quite half the size. But this is how wide it is. It's only 21 and a half inches wide. So it more than adequately fits on a 3 feet wide paper. Now we have 42 inch wide paper. That's what we had over here. So I could actually have more generations. That was one of the things when I did the Norwoods, I had to break them out, because Captain Norwood lived back in the late 1600s, early 1700s, and he had 13 children, and you can imagine how many generations that is forward. And some of them, because TMG had a 3 feet wide limitation, I had to break them down so that I didn't get that many generations pushing onto the, past the 3 feet wide.
Yeah.
Yes.
You could take Father Oldner out, do a separate one for him, and just take it and paste it on the other side.
Could do that. That's a perfect way of handling it. But Oldner did have another daughter, and I just wanted to make sure she got on the chart. Because I would really, and they had a daughter, and she had a very unusual name, and you'd think I'd be able to find them, even though they had a common last name. She married someone with the last name of Young. John Young. That's pretty darn common, you know. But they had a daughter who was named Alberta. Alberta is not that common of a first name. I don't know. They could have all died in the 1850s, because I sure can't find them in 1860 census any place. And by that time, my Anna Louisa had married the boy next door, which was the Seward boy who lived next door when they moved to Baltimore. So this tells you how big it is. Everything's done in inches. Okay? This, unfortunately, is a very big chart. The one I created, because I changed the birthday, and we can go back and I'll show you that it will come out differently. I'm not saving, I don't care about saving this one. So I'm going to go back, and I'm going to put in here for Ulmer at his birth. And I chose after 1817 because that made him the youngest of them. Thinking if I got him at the bottom of the list, it would make him the youngest of all of them. See, if we go back now, he comes out on the bottom of the list. Okay? So now I come back and I do my descendant chart again.
We like your horse.
Huh?
We like your horse.
Oh.
And the barber shop.
It's one of the options. It's one of the options you can pick. I didn't create it myself. So. I don't know what you mean by the number. That's what it generates. That's what it says it took. You notice, however, that there was an enormous amount of blank pages. Okay. All right. Now this is better, because now I've got real people up at the top. So let's look and see what it really looks like. Now, notice I don't have that big, big black until I get there. And there's Father Older right there. Now, why it needed to do that, I don't know.
Is the bottom one the one that had 817 also?
He had the date of 817.
Oh,
what
you
need to do is take this date.
Shall we try? Oh, okay. Make Father Older's a real date.
Right.
It's, okay.
It's sort of date. You can say after 1870.
Okay. Let's try that.
You could also leave in 1820.
Okay. And let's go back and see what happens. This is what you do before you print it. Don't print this until you know you don't like the way it looks. I mean, especially if you're printing it on a bunch of paper like this and expect to figure out what's going on. Because then you have to tape it all together. They do give you the little edges to tape them together and you got to bend, take on. I did that one time for a work chart. It's okay if you're only taping together 10 or 12 pieces of paper, but if it gets up to 30 or 40, 50 sheets of paper, that is very cumbersome to put together. Yes, you do. And a very big area to lay it out on, because you can't do it any other way. Okay, let's see what he looks like now. Well, no! Now he's at the end, but he's still... Why did they do that? Almost. That is the weirdest thing. I don't understand that. Yes, I can move all those up, and do that. I can do that. But it doesn't take the blank sheets of paper out.
But if you move... If you actually...
It doesn't take the blank sheets of paper out. Yes. Then I can resize. But you have to go through the steps. Don't expect, it does not an automatic thing. And I can come here and I can highlight these all and let's see if it wants to move. Yeah, see, I can move them all up, but it didn't want to do it. Come on. See, I don't know what it's doing now. I'm not moving it, I'm sizing it or something. So, it'd probably be easier if I just clicked that off and then moved them off and put the line back in or took the line out altogether. But, yeah, these are blank. And let's now look and see what the size of it is. It's going to Tools, under Diagrams, under Diagram Measurements, and Lotus. It's a lot shorter. Not significantly, because this space is bigger than that space over there. Yeah. Okay, so let's go over and look at the chart. Because this is now, this then you would give them the file. Now, I found that a lot of times if you go to a printer, you got to put it in as a PDF file.
At FedEx, you can just take them a JPEG and they will convert to PDF.
They can do the JPEG. We had trouble yesterday just doing the JPEG. One of the outputs from here is to create a JPEG file. Okay, and it will tell you that you can do that and export it out to a JPEG file. So, but, excuse me, I really thought that the PDF file was just as easy for them to work with. Okay, so I can take that out of the JPEG file. But if you're saying that FedEx can handle it, then...
In the software?
As a VCF file. It's their nobody can open it without the software.
Okay.
Okay?
Separate CMJ.
Right. Okay? It's only open through there. And that is visual, that's the, what I have on the back, the name of the visual chart form. It's the software that they have, that they use to. You export it either a JPEG or you can see. I have the option of printing things to a JPEG. I happen to have a printer that is it goes right to PDF.
Does the TMG printer, PDF printer work?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I can just create a PDF file very quickly this way. Any document, any from anything, it's just printing and making it a PDF file, which we use a lot in our my business because then the people can't change it. If you give something, a Word document or a something else, you put it in a PDF file, they can't modify it unless they have, you know, the professional Adobe.
So it's making a PDF file that's that size, mm-hmm. not one with all the individual sheets in.
It looks like it has all the individual sheets in, but when you tell it what printer it then is going to print to, you tell it what size it's going to be, and it will automatically make it that. So they have to set it up. You have to make sure you know your measurements, because then they will make it a little bit bigger so that it fits to the, you know. So if it's, and that's what I did wrong over here, is that I had told him that it was expecting it to be 36 inches wide, and I believe that one is actually ends up being a little bit more than 36 inches wide, and because we go right up against it like here. But here's the PDF file. And now I have a PDF file.
It's showing individual pages, but
if I went and did a print, it would look like it was individual pages, unless I took it to the type of printer that could handle it.
Yeah.
See, my printer that's called Grant is a straight laser printer. So as you can see, it has 101 pages. I wouldn't want to tape that together. I'd be sticky fingered at the end. Okay. But they can, you know, getting it printed. So why don't we go over and we'll take a look, and you may have questions then about the, when does break start?
About now.
About now. Good. Thank you. Wasn't that easy? I almost feel stupid sometimes. I was like, if you want to see, here's everybody that's on that chart. I did an indent just to see everybody. And, I had to print it out on larger, you know, this way, because otherwise it wraps around and everything. Yes. I have what all squeezed down? No, I didn't. I turned it on the side because it's called a left to right chart. And that's just one of the standards. One of the options. You can do a top to bottom, or bottom to top, left to right, or right to left. I prefer these because the way we do them, with this worked out for us for the Norwoods because of the way people come up and look at the chart. And allows us to put it up, two of the charts up against the wall on either side, so then I only have to have.
Yeah, I'm going to cut off the plug in your
face. Okay. We're on the plug, my thing, right? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, there's no damage.